Recovery Radio, KMP3000.
Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. So happy that you are listening. I am so grateful. I can hardly stand it right now. I'm one of those guys right now that I just absolutely fucking hated when I was new. I am so grateful. I just went to a AA convention, and man, I love it. I love being there. I shared about it this morning in a meeting I was in, how I used to storm out of conventions when I was new. I just didn't feel like I fit in there or anywhere, and I had so much anxiety that I didn't know what to do with myself. Really, it was because I was just thinking of myself, and that's it. But at the time, it was much more complex than that in my mind. But really what it came down to was, you know, I get there and how do I look? What are you thinking of me? What is everyone thinking of me? What do I say when I talk to, it's just, so I was a mess. But come to find out over time that there's a lot of people who are feeling that way. There's a lot of people who do not feel comfortable in crowds. I don't know very many who do. And if you just think about them, and if you just go with the attitude of, what can I contribute? What can I add? What can I bring? It's an awesome experience. And that's what I was able to do today. And it was great. And I was just talking about levity and, you know, having fun. And, you know, what does your version of fun look like? And I was talking about what mine looks like. And if you listen to the previous episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I really got to do that today, and it was fun. Me and a friend of mine who I've known for 30 years in AA, we're just sitting there talking. I had pretty recently quit smoking cigarettes, but I smoke a pipe. And so we were sitting there, you know, in the smoking section, and I was puffing on my pipe, and we were talking about the old days and the new days and how blessed we are and how grateful we are. And then we saw someone that we wanted to fuck with. And so we did. So we got a couple of the people who volunteered to be security officers. And we said, go over to that person and tell them that there have been complaints about them and that they... Might not be funny when I'm telling the story, but we thought it was very funny. So go tell them that they need to be removed. And, you know, the people that in question were just, they're just such gentle, peaceful, loving people. But they have great senses of humor. But we did it twice. And it was funny. And we stayed outside and were staring at them and had it arranged so that the security guard would point to the people who were making the complaint eventually. And one of them right away knew it was me, so it was no fun. They said, I don't care what that son of a bitch says. I'm not going anywhere without even seeing me and my friend. But anyways, it was fun, I have to tell you. It was ridiculous. It was fun. It didn't hurt anyone. And I don't take myself that seriously anymore. And it feels good because I took myself so seriously for so long. I mean, so seriously, you know. Every thought, every emotion, it was just, you know, what is this? You know, but this is serious. And I just, because of, you know, the application, the continuing practice of the 12 steps, I don't take myself that seriously today. So I had a lot of fun. And, you know, there was no one I didn't want to see. There was no one that I was afraid to run into. I was happy to see everybody. You know, I've known a lot of these people for a really long time. I've had situations with various people over the years. And because of their willingness to hear and make amends, I feel so close to those people now. And there's a handful of them. And I don't agree with, you know, a lot of things, a lot of beliefs that people have, and vice versa, and it just doesn't matter. There's a way to find a connection with anyone. I mean, we all have, the bottom line is we all have one thing in common, really, two things, but we're alcoholic, and we're survivors of a shipwreck, and we have a common solution on which we can essentially, at least, agree upon. And that's enough to have, like the book says, lifelong friends. Driving out to the convention today, I cried because I thought of that sentence in the big book where it says, when it talks about the fellowship, and it says, you know, among them, you'll make lifelong friends, something to that effect. And it's true. And it's incredible, man. It's just incredible. And it's an experience I wish for everyone. And it just takes doing the work in my own experience. Patience. Don't beat yourself up. Let yourself fail. You know, it's going to happen. And I'm not talking about relapse. That's a whole different thing. But I just mean, you know, don't beat yourself up, man. Even for that, just don't. It's, if you're above ground, there's hope. And the application of these spiritual principles, it's not easy. It's so simple, it's almost impossible. So give yourself a break. Sometimes I imagine, you know, how much different the world would be if everyone walked around with a picture of them as a baby on their chest. I mean, how much nicer would we be to everyone? So much nicer. I would be. So sometimes I try to imagine that. I got that idea years ago when I was in New York and I worked for someone who was very challenging. And one day I saw him eating lunch by himself and he just looked like a little boy. And I just thought, you know, I'm such a dick. Just be loving. We're all trying. Anyways, today I wanted to talk about gratitude. There's a great quote about gratitude. I don't remember where I heard it, who said it, but the quote was, "A lack of gratitude is theft." And, I get that. When I was new and when I had the obsession to drink still, I was very frightened constantly about relapsing. I believed it was a completely arbitrary thing, and I had to understand why people relapsed, and so, you know, I would ask everyone who relapsed if they were fortunate enough to show their face again. I would come up to them and I would say, "What happened? You know, tell me everything. Walk me through it. What happened? You know, what happened? Because, man, I can't relapse." And person A would say, "You know, I stopped going to meetings." And then I would think, "Okay, well, meetings, that's what it is." Then I would talk to another guy, and he said, "Well, I went to a meeting on Monday, and I drank on Monday night." So I said, "Okay, it's not meetings." Okay, in and of itself, it's not that. I talked to another guy, "Well, what happened? You know, why did you relapse, you know?" And, "Well, you know, I wasn't sponsoring anyone." And, "Okay, so that's what it is." I talked to another guy who, "Well, I was, you know, listening to a fifth step and I got so depressed and I drank." I said, "Okay, well, shit, what is it?" But I'll tell you something that I've never heard in 30 years. I never heard anybody say, when I asked them, "Well, why did you relapse?" "Well, I was feeling really grateful." "And so I drank." That's one thing I've never heard. I've never heard anyone say, "Well, I was thinking to myself, what's best for the people that I love? What's best for my wife? What's best for my husband? What's best for my kids? What's best for, you know?" And I was thinking that, and I just thought, you know, that's it. I'm going to go drink. Never heard that. I've never heard anyone say that. I've never heard anyone share that they were grateful. And so they relapsed. And there's something to that, I think. And so my understanding is that the process of going through the steps can make someone become so other-centered, so aware of the experience of other people, so out of self, that the thought of drinking just is crazy. It's just my perspective. So I wanted to talk about gratitude. I noticed that I always have enough mental information, for lack of a better way to put it, to convince myself that my life sucks, and that I'm screwed, and that life's not fair. I can always make that argument. And I think anyone can. But I have learned that there's always enough information, for lack of a better word, available to me to realize that I should be grateful. That I'm the luckiest person who was ever born. That's always there too. I was 20 years sober. I was homeless. I'll tell that story sometime. But I became homeless at 20 years sober. And I got through that period by taking people through the steps. And trying to stay out of self as much as possible. And that period lasted for months. And during that time, I remember I would be having conversations like this with guys I was working with, and they would say things like, you know, but you don't understand. You know, it's easy for you to say you're grateful, or it's easy for you to, you know, getting out of self is hard. It's easy for you. You know, you don't know. And one guy said, you know, you don't know. You just don't understand financial difficulty. You don't get it. And I had been working with him for weeks. But my situation had never come up in conversation. And when he said that, I thought, well, this will be helpful. I said, come with me. And I walked over to my car and I popped the trunk and I showed him all my shit. He said, oh, I didn't know. So, well, just showing you that spiritual life is not a theory. Now I'm really trying to live it. And we have to live it. You know, during that period of time, this is how I arrived at gratitude. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It's a pretty wild story, but it's long. Even the condensed version is pretty long, but during that time, I, you know, walked into... First thing I did was an inventory. With 20 years, I did an inventory. Fast. To make sure I was as unblocked as I could be from God. As I understand God. And then I shared it with someone. And then I made some amends. And then I went out to help people. Turned my attention to people I could help. Walked into the meeting hall with 500 problems. Did not share about my problems. Because I shared that with someone in the program. I walked out with 450 problems. I didn't touch my problems. Walked back in the next day with 450 problems. Shared about my experience with the steps in a way that was authentic. I did not talk about what was going on with me specifically. I was there to help. I walked out with 300 problems. I didn't touch my problems. A few days later, I walk in, 300 problems, do the same thing, walk out with 100 problems. Next day, I walk in with 100 problems. Again, I'm not touching my problems. Walk in with 100 problems, come out with 5 problems. God's putting people in my path. I'm taking guys through the work. I'm thinking of other people. I'm doing the footwork I need to do for my own life, but it wasn't much I could do. And then I walk in with 5 problems and I walk out grateful. Then I walk in the meeting grateful. The next day I walk out more grateful. And that's how it went for me. Continuously. Over an 18-month period, roughly. And so, and another reason why I think that I feel so grateful today, and in general, every day, is because of some of the experiences that I've had that have made the, you know, clock ticking in life very obvious and loud to me. First of all, I died when I got, you know, my last drunk, I died. I flatlined, I died. And that had an impact on me. That made me aware of, you know, what a miracle it is that I am breathing. Period. I've talked about it on here quite a bit, but it's all house money after that. It's all house money. I'm playing with house money. I'm aware of that. I used to drink and drive in blackouts all the time. Why didn't I kill anyone yet? I still have yets. But why? Because I'm awesome? No. Because I'm smart? No. Because I'm cool? No. It's grace. It's grace. So I'm aware of that too. Whenever I start thinking, you know, that I deserve better, these are the thoughts I start to have. Remind myself, you're lucky to be alive. Then when I was about 7 years sober, my best friend killed himself. When I was 7 years sober, my best friend, who was not a depressed person and not an alcoholic, someone I had known since preschool, went through all of school with, preschool, kindergarten, first, second, third, all the way, 12th. He was a true friend, so I didn't lose him when I got sober. And he got married, and I sang at his wedding, and then he got very domesticated, and I didn't see him for 6 months, and then one day I got the news he killed himself. And I was sober long enough to not make that about me. What I took away from that was, you know, there's people who are alive and I should celebrate them now. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And, you know, so I will reach out to people that I love on a pretty regular basis. They're on my heart. I'll shoot him a text. Let him know. I do it on a pretty regular basis. I do that because as the days wind down, I think to myself, you know, do the people that I love know that I love them? And am I in a position to be able to express that? Those are the thoughts I have as the day winds down for me, so. And for me, a good day is a day where I can say, yeah, everybody that I love, I think, knows I love them. Some people don't know what to do with that. And that's fine. Been sponsoring a guy for coming up on 10 years at the time of this recording. And I remember, you know, he's a real rough case. A real stray dog. And, you know, I sent him a text after we were working together for 6 months or so, and I just said, I love you. And, turns out what had happened is he freaked him out so much he pulled over on the freeway, just parked. He called me. He said, why'd you do that? I said, why'd I do what? He said, why did you send me that text? I said, because I love you. He said, okay. Cool. Now he tells me he loves me too. But that's what I try and do. I try to be grateful for the people who are in my life today and express that and live in that as much as I can. I do that when I feel good, and I do that when I don't feel good. I do that because, you know, everyone's having their own experience, and everyone, I think, deserves to know that. I can't think of a unselfish reason not to express that usually. But I could think of a lot of selfish reasons for me. Eh, they already know. Eh, it's not gonna matter. Eh, I don't need to say it. I'm watching TV, or eh, you know, I'll do it later. Or so when my best friend killed himself, it made me much more expressive of love and much more aware of how limited time is on Earth. That tomorrow's not promised, and I want to feel grateful, and I want to express that through my actions, first and foremost, but as a last resort, through words. So I try to do that. And then another thing is, in my own life, is September 11th. I was in New York, and I was pretty close by, and I worked very close by. And, man, I think about it every day. I'm not in New York anymore. I don't know. Haven't found anyone out here on the other end of the country that relates to this to the extent I do, where I think about it a lot. And it's made me more driven to be loving and kind to everyone. Tomorrow's not promised. I always act like it is, though, you know. But it's not. So, if it's appropriate, it's not always appropriate, but if it's appropriate, it usually is. And I care about you, and you're in my life. You know that. I make it pretty clear. I try to. It's important to me. And it keeps me in gratitude. That's the action. One of many actions that generates gratitude in me is the expression of gratitude. That's how it works for me. I don't know if it works that way for you, but it works that way for me. So I'm trying to be very vocally appreciative of things. Anyways, so I, you know, some another way I look at it sometimes, I don't know if I am making this up, probably not. I don't make up anything, but I look at my mind like it's a garden, and there's a bunch of flowers in there, and there's weeds in there, and you know, what do I... This is definitely not, as I'm talking about it, I've definitely heard this from like a million places, but this is just how I think about it. So, you know, what do I want to water in there? Do I want to water a weed, or do I want to water... And what I mean by that is, like, sometimes there'll be... I'll be having a hard time with a person in my life, and I'll want to focus on that, but there's 10 people in my life that I'm not having a problem with. And so a lot of times I will just focus on the 10 people that I'm not having a problem with. And I'll celebrate that, and I'll water those plants, flowers. And that helps the weed die quickly. So, just some thoughts on this day that I find myself so, you know, grateful. So grateful today. I'm going to go back to the convention. It's just getting started. I'm going to loiter there and have some more of my friends faux removed by security guards. And I'm going to take time to thank the people who are donating their time and energy to make this thing happen. And try and stay out of myself and do the best I can today. So anyway, with that, I am going to go try to live a life that was worth saving. I hope you do the same. Good night.